Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
We will get to some Jerry Jones cuts in just a moment. Maybe just one because I know how people feel.
Who?
One of the guys that we wanted back for the Rangers was Jordan Montgomery. And
yes.
Kevin, I know you were very adamant about it. Can you please remind me what your reasoning was for wanting Jordan Montgomery back?
Because I know the concerns were how he would project going forward. My biggest thing is, you know, he works here. Like, you saw it. You could not have won that World Series without Jordan Montgomery. And then the price got so low. We called it the reverse eBay back in the day with Nelson Cruz. The price got so low. And I was like, come on. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. And it seems like, and Mike, we discussed this during the offseason too. It seems like Scott Boras had some big ideas and ownership was like.
I saw Scott.
Ownership had had different ideas when it was dealing with him. Did you talk to him about what happened?
I just said hello.
Uh-huh.
What happened?
Just the not getting some contracts that he'd expected.
I mean, I kind of felt like we were talking about free agency during one of the LA games, and we brought up Scott Boras because he was there. Adrian Beltre, his former client, was there, and Emily Jones went and talked to Scott about certain things, not about the, let's say, the pitching market that he didn't read well last year.
Right.
But, yeah, it'll be interesting with Jordan Montgomery after that was said about him.
Okay, well, here it is. This is Ken Kendrick, the team owner for the Arizona Diamondbacks, talking to Arizona Sports.
The best way I can say it. If anyone wants to blame anyone for Jordan Montgomery being a Diamondback, you're talking to the guy that should be blamed. Because I brought it to their attention. I pushed for it. They agreed to it. It wasn't in our game plan. You know, when he was signed right at the end of spring training. And looking back, in hindsight, a horrible decision, you know, to have invested that money in a guy that performed as poorly as he did. It's our biggest mistake this season from a talent standpoint.
And he said, I'm the perpetrator of that. So, and I mean,
holy moly,
you watch your team get beat in the World Series and that dude's across there and then he's available. You're probably like, hey, I would like to sign that guy. But there were lots of things that we heard about Jordan Montgomery that we, again, were fine dealing with. Just like you said, Kevin, you knew he worked here and he helped you do it. It was one of those, hey, let's run it back. Let's try to run it back one more time with that whole group. But that is an owner right there kind of going in, being very honest about the player, which I think is interesting because a lot of owners don't do that. But I guess he's feeling like, look, that was a one-year deal. We're never seeing that guy again.
Real quick, he was lucky to be on Arizona because they were so good offensively. He had a 6.23 ERA.
He had a winning record, right?
Yeah, he was 8-7.
So, and this is the thing that it's tough with media. I appreciate the answer that that owner gave because that's a real life people answer. But don't you think he's going to get dragged because of it? And like, that's probably why people don't ever say anything.
By his fan base?
And by the media.
Okay. By the fan base.
By the fan base, probably not. By the fan base,
I don't think so because I don't know how much Arizona cares. But the other thing too is...
They don't like cheering. I was there.
I think it's more about other players. Like when you do something like that, you're telling other players that you're willing, other free agents and stuff, you're willing to take shots at them if they aren't great when you send them away. Yeah. I don't think guys like that. I don't think guys appreciate that. Sometimes I feel like that becomes, now obviously if you money whip them, they'll pay you. They'll play for you.
Sure.
But I just don't feel like a lot of free agents want to go to places where they feel like they're going to be cast out like that.
After what that's the general manager, correct?
The owner.
Owner. After what that was the owner who said that?
Ken, I thought he Kendrick. Said
he, okay. For some reason, I thought he said he presented it to ownership.
No, he said he presented it to his group.
To his group.
Yeah, he's the one. He was like, I'm the one that told the guys they need to do it.
It sounds like they want to get rid of him at all cost. He did his player option. As long as he started 10 games, he can take his player option at $20 million. He has to take that option.
After off of that performance? Yeah.
After a 6.23 ERA, people were concerned about how big he is. Like, let's say his weight situation in the off season. Would you Ranger fans want him back at, let's say, 75% of what he makes? Well, I guess I should say this better. $5 million. Arizona's selling him to you. Yes. Take on the $5 million. We'll eat $15 million.
Yeah.
We at least don't have to pay 20, because there's no way Boris wants him back there. There's no way Montgomery wants back there, and there's no way Arizona wants him back there. And they're going to have to eat at least, I would say, $10 million of the contract. Would you want him back at $10 million?
For sure. Oh, I'm sorry. I was still at $5 million.
You said for sure at five. Now I'm upping the cost. You don't have to trade him anything.
Seven to eight was in my mind, okay. But I'd be willing to listen to 10 because, like you said, there's no assets going back because they're like, hey, we need to get him the hell out of here.
And I'm looking at some of the other guys that are leaving here or potentially leaving and what their cost is right now. And so I'm saving money if I'm bringing him in at that point.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how interested the Rangers are. I think at 10 for nobody, and when I mean nobody, I understand you might have to trade some dude from A-ball that's sat on the bench all year just to make it like a transaction. But at 10 would be my max. But also, I need to know, and we're never going to know this, the budget of the Rangers. What? Because if they're telling me, well, you can take them, but you might as well count Yates off of your team. No, I'd rather, if I have $10 million, I'd rather have Yates than Montgomery.
See, and that's a great way to put it, because then that feels like it's harder to figure out, right? Because if you're just like, I get Jordan Montgomery for money that's not yours, you're like, oh, of course. Hey, would you rather have Kirby Yates or Jordan Montgomery? Because now all of a sudden I'm like, I know relief doesn't always carry from season to season, but I would probably go Yates then. He was amazing this season.
He blew one save in September. He had a 0 ERA with a win and 8 saves. Like I would say I saw what happens when you go through a season. In fact, I've seen it for almost a decade. It felt like when you don't really have a closer, and it is not fun getting to the 8th and 9th inning without a reliable closer.
I'm looking at some of Montgomery's numbers, Kevin. He wasn't hit hard. He didn't get barreled up very often, but his strikeout percentage was so low compared to what he's done in the past, and his put away percentage. His whiff rate was actually really low too. So I'm kind of curious on, he didn't get hit hard, kind of like when he was here. He didn't get hit hard very often, but he was able to strike people out with that. What do they call that curveball? The death ball. I love the nickname for that. So I don't know, man. I'd take him back.
Somebody asked, by the way,
32.
Maybe we could reach out to Brandon. I feel like he probably forfeited his lifetime of Hurtado.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if he can come back around and still get that, but we can ask Brandon.
Give him a free meal. Yeah. I bet he'll give him a free meal.
I agree with that. This is exactly what millionaire athletes need.
So going from one owner that took a hot shot like that at somebody to Jerry Jones this morning with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton show. This is cut to, will you be trying to make a trade after some injuries have affected your team?
Well, if you can, but usually don't plan on trades. Now, one thing you do, you plan for this in the off-season, and you plan for this looking at your depth, at your position, and you plan for it. It is going to happen. It's not a question of if. And so you don't know which positions, but you know you're going to have that type of injury attrition. What you want to do, again, is have it so that if it's possible, so that when you get to the end of the year and you're getting ready to go into those playoffs, that you've pushed it all up there and you're the healthiest that you've been, so to speak. That happened to us last year, and we're the healthiest we've been in years. And so that's the way you want to plan it and make it work.
Kevin, I was punching my steering wheel driving in this morning going, that doesn't make sense to me.
Which is kind of interesting because part of that answer was the exact same answer that Chris Young gave in terms of like, that's our job and we have to plan in terms of preparing for that and having depth. Not the rest of the answer, but part of that answer.
But I felt, this is me saying to y'all, I hope y'all felt the same way about this. I felt that they weren't good enough at the starter position, let alone their depth, to be able to recover from something like this. And right now it's being proven.
And I think we've seen over the last few years of the NFL trade deadline, it's getting less restrictive than it has been. I know what the answer is going to be. We planned poorly, so we owe a lot of money because Dak's cap hit next year is like $88 million or something. You have $25 million. That's a real number. You have $25 million in cap space, give or take. You have draft assets. You could make something happen. But as we talked about yesterday, this does not feel like the team to push all in.
And I know this was a question from RJ and Bobby to Sean.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Morning. And I think it's a very valid discussion point. Do these injuries to Bland, Micah, and DeMarcus Lawrence factor in how you evaluate Mike McCarthy's season?
Well, that's why that you say, well, it's a record thing. It's either you did or you didn't. As Bill Parcells said, your record is what you are. That's why you look behind that and you look at other nuances, and one of them will be how you dealt through the years, how you've dealt with this time when you have to step up and replace what's out on the field. And that's a part of the game. It's as much a part of the game as the kickoff.
The problem I have with that is, A, sounds like if nothing goes any better based on what happened in McCarthy's first season, and what looks like is happening right now, then McCarthy would be gone, because you are what you are. How good were you at stepping up in those moments? I would see it that way. But man, that falls back to the GM to make sure the people are there, to make sure the talent is there for the coach to coach. That's where I have that biggest problem. All right, Kevin, if you would like to respond to that, that's fine.
Be optimistic.
Or I can go for the next 2.5 minutes on something else.
Okay, I guess I want to respond. I want to hear the Pete Rose stuff and everything too, or whatever else you're going to trot out there. But some of his answers are just frustratingly confusing to me, because then I'm like, all right, so we're taking all of these years into account. So then that makes it feel like, well, whatever happened in this year is only 20% of the equation compared to everything else, when we've been describing it as if everything is on this year. And I don't know.
Yeah. No.
I'm sorry, Corey. That was that look. I have lots of thoughts, but I wanted to condense them down to something.
I like this look and these thoughts better than yesterday's looks and these thoughts during our segment. So
sorry.
It's all right. Ryan Spader. I don't know who he is.
Great actor. Sex, Lies, and Videotape. No.
He said this because Pete Rose died at 83 yesterday. And I'm not shocked when people die anymore, because people die.
It's fair.
But I was shocked that Mutombo and Pete Rose on the same day happened. That was a shocker to me. But this stat right here. The Cincinnati Reds have been a Major League Baseball team for 143 seasons.
Oh.
It's a lot of seasons.
True.
In their storied history, who would you, Mike, name the top five Cincinnati Reds that you can think of in the history of Cincinnati Reds?
Probably Johnny Bench is their biggest one.
Okay. And then Pete Rose.
Rose is way up there.
Yeah.
Joe Morgan.
Joe Morgan's up there. Obviously, Morgan played for other teams. Yeah. Like, that's what makes Johnny Bench so special, is he was a Red forever. I mean, Barry Larkin only played for the Reds and is in the Hall of Fame and their Hall of Fame.
Our very own Tim Collins.
Yeah.
Had a cup of coffee with them, he said. That's good. That's a good number. Yeah, I like four. I mean, that's fine.
Obviously, the breaking news yesterday came from the son of Tony Perez.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's top five, but he's a Hall of Famer who was a Red for a while.
That's a good one.
In their 143 season totals, Pete Rose has scored 1.78% of all the runs recorded by the franchise.
Wow. And
I just think that's if you can say,
that is crazy,
I did almost 2% of everything that they've done, that's pretty cool. Even if you're dead, like, it's still pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
My memory is of Pete Rose. I remember I had a bloopers tape that Tug McGraw, Tim McGraw's dad, was the host of, and it was just a fun blooper. Bloopers back in the day were a blast.
Of course.
And there was the video of Pete Rose getting the phone call from the president and having the conversation with him, and he was having a bad, like, the connection wasn't quite there, and everybody was laughing. That's the personality that I thought Pete Rose was, because that's all I knew as a kid.
Okay.
And then I got older and found out more about Pete Rose, and was like, okay, because I saw this Charlie Hustle guy, I saw all these other things, and then the other stories come out about Pete Rose. And I remember having this book that my dad got me, and I wish I knew the exact name of it, but on the cover was Pete Rose diving headfirst. And he's about 17 feet away from the bag. And that was just kind of, whenever I was a kid, I wanted to play that way. I wanted to play all out and be able to hit. It's pretty fascinating, though, that he had the type of career he had, and that the league did stick to it the way that they did, considering all the other turmoils that baseball's had in their history as well.
Would you mind if we played Cut 14 real quick? Because this is Eduardo Perez, like, essentially breaking the news on SportsCenter, and you hear the emotion that it's caused by him.
I want to throw in a little breaking news, a little sad news that I just received as well here in the last inning. My father called me, and I confirmed it with my really, really, my brother, Pete Rose Jr. Pete Rose passed away today, and it's hard. So, you know, it's one of those times where Hannah and I have been together on set for the loss of Jose Fernandez years ago, almost to the day. And just to be able to have lost Pete Rose today is a big hit for a lot of baseball families. So it's a tough one right now.
And I love that. I love the the audio Sean played this morning of him and Frank Thomas and A-Rod talking about hitting. There's so many other things, but man, again, what my memory in my childhood was, and I've always thought this about Barry Bonds and Clemens, hey, put them in a different wing. They're still the story of the game.
Sure.
It's not the story you want to talk about, and you're getting to write history the way you want and everything, but it's still part of what happened. So tell that part of it so that people know, because there's something I didn't know. And that's what Mike told me the first time we ever discussed on Pete Rose. There's a big sign right there at the door that tells you not to do this. Every club has that sign that says, don't do this. It's the rule. And we've always discussed, if that's the rule, you got to deal with it.
Yeah.
He broke that rule.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the Tuesday tailgate. SMU dominates. UNLV makes history. And I win. Google me. Next on The Fan.
Florida State's 42-yard line. Daniels, little flea flicker, back to Jennings, and wide open, and it's caught! Jordan Hudson, touchdown!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time for the Tuesday tailgate, 877-881-1053. You want to get involved in the conversation, Frankel and Frankel, injury attorney, text line. Could be Franklin, frankly.
Real quick, before we do college football,
mm-hmm.
Corey, you said you weren't sure who you're rooting for. The more they show Houston Astro fans on ABC right now, right before game one of the playoff starts, don't you just go, I just hope they lose.
Yeah, I can't stand them. I hope they lose, and then AJ Hinch has to lose too.
Well, let them lose in the next round.
In the next round.
Okay, you can be pro Yankees in the next round.
Yeah, no, I'll just continue to be pro Royals. That's where I'm going with this.
Pro Cleveland?
Mm-mm. It's all Royals from here on for me because of my skullet mullet bet with Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have bad news for you. You're never going to be Royal.
All right. So what happened in college football, man?
Right.
I was doing baseball.
Let's talk about college football. And we start with mighty SMU. And man, oh, man, is Florida State worse than I feel like even the most pessimistic person could have possibly imagined. Rhett Lashley leads the way. SMU stomps Florida State 42-16. I believe that's now four losses for Florida State, who started out the season as a top 10 team. Have you become fascinated at all by the shocking spiral down of Florida State? Or are you just more excited than SMU?
Yeah, I was going to flip it around.
Fair.
This is great to have. It's interesting because they've done it in a year, right? Like, there's been a year that this program's turned around. Why? Is it because all the billionaires finally showed up and were like, hey, we can spend money? Are you kidding me? This is great.
I mean, George W. Bush was at the game. That feels like, hey, we got a president out here, former president. You're like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that because I don't know exactly what it's going to take for people around here to get super pumped about SMU football. There's a lot around here, right? Mm-hmm. OU.
Dickerson.
OU is, that would be awesome. Oklahoma is like the state's Cowboys, right? Because they don't have a professional team there. There's a lot of distractions in Dallas. And SMU's kind of been one of those teams that's just down there, you know, the whole time. I think this is great for the program itself. So I'm more fascinated by that than the spiral of Florida State.
First SEC game, a dominant victory. So congratulations to SMU. Now, let's go to cut number 15. Believe it or not, we're starting off our segment talking about SMU football and Indiana football. This is Indiana's head coach, who seems shocked and appalled by this question. But this is what he said at the end of last year about how he would recruit players to his school.
Well, when you recruit them, you know, how do you sell your vision of your culture? I mean, what's the...
Who are you talking about? The high school guys, the transfers, who?
All of the above. I mean, how do you...
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
Now... That is a bold statement to make. Here's the outcome thus far. Indiana, after defeating Maryland, is 5-0 for the first time since 1967. So? I mean, I feel like he's got a, what is that, 57 years? That's a pretty strong case right there for what he said.
67, was that Hoosiers? Was that
a basketball team.
Were they 5-0?
Yeah, it did start off 5-0.
The coach gave a gentleman, this is a basketball speech.
Then Isaiah Thomas and Quinn Buckner led the way.
With his ruler. He went and did a ruler across Isaiah, all the...
I can't remember.
You guys are talking about two different things that neither of which is directly related
to congratulations to them, man. Like, that's really awesome. I win. I love that. That kind of confidence. Aren't you playing for that coach?
Hell yeah.
You're playing your...
Especially if he's my coach.
Butt off for that coach.
I mean, aren't you going to just play for your coach?
Yes. Okay. But sometimes you're like, I don't like that coach. Oh, and I'm playing, but I'm playing for me.
Mike, have you ever half-assed it because you had a coach you really didn't like?
Like I said, you're playing for you at that point, not necessarily for the coach.
Not on the baseball field. I got in big trouble, though, my senior year in high school. I'd pitched against, heck, it might have been Chris Young. Against Highland Park, and my arm was killing me, and I wasn't throwing 80 miles an hour like the Cardinals were. There, like, scouts were there as the draft was coming up, and I pitched. My arm was killing me, and I threw the complete game, but I wasn't throwing well, like, especially for scouts. And so the next game of the tournament, we played West Mesquite. They were pathetic. I'm going 5-for-5 with at least one dong, maybe two. And I didn't play because our coach knew that we were going to kill him. So he played some of the seniors that don't get to play or whatever. Well, my goal going into the year was to have the best ERA and the best batting average in Dallas-Fort Worth. Mm. So I was not happy. So after pitching that Highland Park game and then playing West Mesquite, as I wasn't in the starting lineup, I just took off my spikes and put on my tennis shoes and just sat in the dugout and didn't cheer or anything. Which wasn't right of me. I can tell you now at 46 years old, that wasn't right of me at 18 years old. I was furious that I wasn't going to get my at least four free hits.
Yeah.
And so he yelled and screamed at me in front of my team and then Lake Highlands, who are playing next. But Lake Highlands was a good team, so then he put me back in the game because he knew if I didn't play, we weren't going to win. So... then I went and played against Lake Highlands the next game.
Now, we talked earlier about the Diamondbacks situation with Jordan Montgomery and just generally throwing people under the bus. What do you think about this quote from Hugh Freeze about who is on his Auburn team? Quote, I think you all are aware of what we inherited. Our AD has done a marvelous job of explaining that. He did to me before I took the job, with the previous recruiting classes not being what you need to compete at the highest level, and 57 transfers out in the previous 3 years before my arrival. If you're on the team and you are part of one of those recruiting classes, doesn't that kind of hurt your feelings?
Absolutely, it does.
Maybe you think your coach is a D1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably so. And then that's why you let OU beat you at the end of the game like that. First time they've ever been in your stadium.
Okay.
And you're like, you know what? I'm going to give up the booty for this one.
So I want to know, do y'all think it was a crazier ending to Auburn OU? Or let's go to cut number 8. The Virginia Tech Miami game had a wild ending as well.
Comes down to this. Drones lets it fly. They're sorting through the carnage.
Further review, the ruling on the field is reversed.
No! So
there's always next year.
What you saw was three different celebrations at this, like, back to back to back. You saw the Miami players run out and celebrate because they thought the Hail Mary was not completed.
The ban was on the field. Yeah.
Rightfully so. And then Virginia Tech celebrating when it got called a touchdown. And then Miami celebrating again when the officials are like, my bad, no touchdown.
That That stinks.
That when ending was crazy.
You're sitting there thinking that you got it, and then they're like, sorry, guys.
Now, somebody brought this up. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. For the 972, I don't think Alabama should be number one. I know you guys were kind of touching on it. I couldn't tell if you were joking or not. Do you think it's fair that Alabama, as we talked about yesterday, beat number two Georgia? They have elevated up to one, and Texas, against a, you know, mediocre Mississippi State team, fell from one to two.
What's the point of being number one if the team didn't beat you and leapfrogs you? Then, like, what? They didn't beat me to take the spot.
That's true.
Here's the funny part about having a kid right now at UT. My daughter has never gone to a UT football game until this year.
Okay.
She didn't go last year, and now she's in love with it. So I was talking to her on the phone last night, and she was like, yeah, people were worried around me that we didn't play well enough. So I guess the UT fan base, after the Mississippi State win, and they didn't get close to covering this, I think it was 37 points.
Yeah, and they were still grinding it out in the second half.
Yeah, so I guess from my daughter's perspective, listening to all of her UT friends talk, they were concerned after that game that they wouldn't hold on to number one because of the Georgia-Alabama game, and whoever won that game would leap ahead of them because they didn't play great in a home game against a bad opponent. So it was funny listening to her have these, I would say, educated opinions off of what her friends were saying around her. And now she's like, so it's different than Bishop Dunn? And she's like, oh my gosh. And I was like, yeah, I've been telling you that. You should go to these sporting events. Like, UT sporting events are really fun to go to.
Now, if there's any concern, first of all, Texas still has a phenomenal team. After this week off, then you've got Oklahoma, and then the week after you play Georgia. So I feel like they'll
get the chance.
Yeah, plenty of opportunity. And all you really need to do is get into the top four, get the bye, and you'll be good to go. And Texas looks like they're in an amazing situation to get that done. Right now, they're third in terms of betting odds to win the national championship behind Alabama and Ohio State. So it goes Alabama, Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, and then RJ Choppy's Tennessee Volunteers are fifth.
What happened to the SEC?
On the list. What do you mean?
They're really struggling here.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
I'm being sarcastic because it's like, here's the rankings for the SEC.
Pretty much. The SEC has four of the top five spots for the fourth week in a row. An ongoing first in the history of the AP poll. It had only happened one other time in 88 years for 1 week.
Really?
Also the SEC, and that is when Dak had Mississippi State at number one in the country.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Now, that configuration only lasted for a week. This has been going on for four straight weeks. The SEC has had four of the top five, with Ohio State, I believe, as the lone outlier.
Okay. That's impressive job.
That is amazing.
They bought all of the best teams, you know? Because all the best teams were like, we need to be there if we really want to be part of the competition.
That is true.
Yes, absolutely.
I talked about it during baseball. I was wondering how the SEC has now dominated the world of baseball, and they're like, they have the most money.
How weird is it that, like, in a week and a half, we're going to say, hey, key SEC showdown between Texas and Oklahoma?
It is weird.
That is very weird.
But it's something, you know.
And now they're playing it at the State Fair of Texas.
How long was the Big 12 around?
What, like 25? I mean, it's still around.
I do know this.
Like 25 years, 28 years?
I believe 96 was its first year.
I think that is correct.
Because I was getting recruited right around then.
Yes.
And I think my wife, who wasn't my wife at the time because she was in high school, she went to the final Cotton Bowl where I believe it was USC versus Texas Tech. Because it was still like Southwest Conference versus another conference. And it ended up being at the time the Pac-10, or it might have been the Pac-8 at the time. I don't know. They changed their numbers a lot.
That is very true.
I only have two. Great news is one of the two gets in because they're part of the Big Five, Strong Five.
I am more confused than whenever I asked the question originally.
It is the Power Five for the very last part of that. By the way, UNLV.
High five.
Undefeated. No, not
Knuckleballs.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, I made him sneeze.
UNLV is undefeated through four games for the first time in Division I history, even though they lost their quarterback for an NIL dispute that we talked about last week. And they have cracked the rankings for the first time ever.
Since Tark the Shark.
They in football. They are tied with Texas A&M at 25 as Texas A&M fell after looking terrible against a team that they should have wiped the floor
Randall
with.
Cunningham's back.
Basically, their coach walked in there after the quarterback was all his situation. He goes, hey, Google me. I win.
Stacey Augmon.
I'm going to root for that Indiana team.
Me too.
Now. We're the Google KNC me. Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the
Detroit
G-Bag
had a guy
Nation.
On. They hit into a double play to end the first.
We'll do that and probably bottom of the first inning updates next on The Fan.
Google me.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is ya? And are you amazed that Mike Bassick forgot that Chiafalo cut his hair?
I am.
When did you do that?
I love it. I think in July, late July.
Oh, it's good for him.
Mid-July.
It's a summertime move.
It's not like that wuss Trevor Lawrence.
What do you guys think about Mike's interesting hypothesis that Trevor Lawrence would immediately potentially get better if he cut his hair?
It's worth a shot. You know, I know like fresh haircut energy will make you feel confident.
That's for damn sure.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. stunk again this year through 2 months, decided to cut off all of his hair. And then he was the second best hitter in the American League, pretty much. Maybe third, but he's right there. All it took was a haircut. No quarterback. Listen to me, Zach and Brian. No quarterback, unless Brian's going to bring up history that I forgot about. No quarterback's ever had long hair where it's covering up their name and they are actually good at football. Quarterbacks have good haircuts. They don't grow it out. That's for linebackers and safeties and crap like that. Quarterbacks, they have normal haircuts. Trevor Lawrence trying to be too pretty out there, and he sucks.
Michael Jordan went from some hair to no hair, 1987.
Oh, no.
First MVP year?
Yep.
Yep. Some to none.
How many times did Peyton Manning win the MVP by having those, like, long locks? Zero.
I already told you my argument with Joe Namath, and that's all I could come up with.
I got one for you. Now, it's not quite as long locks as T-Law.
Oh. Yeah. Are you calling out Lucius?
Lucius, you know what? He's probably a safety. He's no quarterback. That's the thing. You can have Troy Polamalu
here. I
think
he was the quarterback.
Oh, did he have long hair then, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, Robert Griffin III had dreadlocks, and then his knee blew
Rogers?
Out.
Didn't Rogers grow his hair out for a little bit? I don't want an MVP.
I don't know. I'd have to check and see if it was an MVP year for his long hair.
He was doing some bits, remember? Like he was Halloween, he was dressing up like John Wick and stuff like
this
that.
This is a strong take because I'm really searching to try and find a long-haired quarterback that was really good.
Lamar Jackson, not long hair.
This is
Patrick Mahomes, not long hair.
This is reminding me of when Corey said that Joey Harrington failed because he didn't change his name to Joe Harrington. And he was like, Joey is not succeeding in the NFL, but Joe could do it. Now, along those lines, another interesting thing that came up on the show earlier today, and I have not been able to find an official retort yet. Do you think that all people named Kenny are all really named Kenneth and they shortened it? Or do you think that some people are just named Kenny?
I don't think there's many just plain Kennys. Okay. I have to tell you, I'm coming from the perspective of one of the fathers of a pure Abby, not an Abigail. Okay.
Yes.
So it can happen. By the way, I think Quinn Ewers cut his hair.
Quinn Ewers is another one.
Yeah, right. He's horrible.
Yeah.
Quinn
got
better.
Stupid haircut, that Southlake haircut. And then he finally got a real haircut and he became a real quarterback.
Well, I wondered if Joe Burrow should undye the blonde, you know, go back to his normal
look. Yeah, look at his record now.
Because they were 0-3.
Eminem out there can't score a touchdown anymore.
Yeah. But, I mean, shout out. The only Kenny that I really knew, shout out to Kenny
Quinlan. Ken Stabler, though.
And he was Kenneth.
Was he Kenneth?
He was Kenneth.
No. Ken Stabler had long hair
as
a quarterback and won the Super Bowl.
You got us thinking here. We're
Brad Shaw was flowing. That was the 70s where a lot of people
were
flowing.
That's what I was doing. I was going back through my head I was going through like Bart Starr had a crew cut. Lindahl. I went
through all the Unitas, Montana.
But Ken Stabler in the late 70s when they beat the Vikings had long hair.
Now,
that's, I guess, his idol, I guess. That's the one guy that can long hair it.
We must had great defense, Mike.
We always encourage people to listen to the G-Bag Nation, and you saw why this morning the Dallas Cowboys go pick up K.J. Henry, mm-hmm. who I know is somebody that you guys have talked about. For people who have missed it.
Finally got Henry. Everybody can stop being and moaning about not getting Henry.
What is it that made you think he might come to the Cowboys or could be a good fit with the Cowboys?
I got connection, bro.
That is true.
Connections.
Yeah, I asked my general manager friends around the league. I said, give me the three names of the guys that you should probably go.
Sign off practice squads.
Thank not you, poach, yeah. but sign off practice squads. And so, and he was a guy that was mentioned yesterday.
What the crap, Tigers? So
that's how we came about with that one.
Now, obviously, Mike is super invested. Are you guys invested in Major League Baseball playoffs now that the Rangers aren't in
there? Yeah, it was fun last year to be a part of all that. I kind of
really
like it.
Was.
Did you see the guy at third? He had some sick Jordan 3s. Did you see that?
I did not see those.
Was it third base coach?
No, the guy running there.
Made some cleats out of them, huh?
Yeah, they were. But they were black and gray and a little bit of orange in there for the Tigers.
Yeah, that's nice color coordination. I like it, you know, especially after the run we went on last year. It just reminds you of the ambiance, the energy of the crowd. It's fun.
It was
You know, I'm not really dug in other than rooting against the Astros.
Man, and, I'm not going to BS you. I'm like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Like, if it's on, I'll watch it, like, during the show. Mm. I'm probably not going to be seeking it out when I go home, like, must-watch television, like it was last year.
Yeah.
I'm really having to pick and choose now, man, with the baby girl at home. It's like, I got to eliminate some things. And with the Rangers not being a part of it, I don't think I'm really going to be too invested.
Not terribly surprising, but this morning, Mike Tomlin heavily insinuated that they would continue to go with Justin Fields, even as Russell Wilson ramps up. Mm-hmm. I imagine no surprise for any of you guys there.
Not at all. Still going to have problems dealing with Pickens, and we'll get into that tomorrow. I'll do the Steelers offense in Krusty's Corner tomorrow. But, yeah, Pickens, the wide receiver, we'll see. But, you want to do everything in your power to make Fields throw that ball. Don't let him run.
And they're remarkably unimpressive at running the ball.
Well, yeah.
I know they're a volume running team, right? Yeah. As opposed to like, hey, we're going to really build up the yards.
Well, they've had some big time injuries as well on the offensive line. I mean, they took their starting center.
They've lost three offensive linemen.
Was out for the season, so they're starting a rookie center as well, and Zach Frazier, who we liked in the draft. And then their starting left tackle, who they drafted, Troy Fontenot from Washington, also out for the year. Now their left guard's done for the year.
Right, I'm excited about that.
The Tigers!
Too. RBI single.
Heck yeah, let's go. Detroit!
First and second, two out.
Detroit Rock City.
I'll definitely hate watch the Astros.
Okay.
I mean, I'm invested in that.
I could see that. By the way, Mike, are you excited that MLB is going back to the old All-Star uniforms as opposed to the way they've been doing it?
I was at the game. It was
you hated it?
That jersey thing was pathetic. You had no clue who was in the game, and then you're just like, what's the point if the Rockies have to be represented in this game, but there's no Rocky jersey? Yeah. It's just everybody's wearing the same jersey. If that's the case, then stop picking one player to represent each team if the teams aren't being represented by their jersey and everything like that. So, yeah, it was pathetic. Right, I had to tell you, I thought it was Hunter Green by his ass. Like, that's the only way I could tell is I think that's his butt.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't tell who anybody is in the game with those stupid jerseys.
Johnny Damon, sweetest ass in the league.
Do you think you would ever analyze games on TV during the play-by-play like you just celebrated, you know, like a college football analyst? They're always hooting and hollering in the back. Like, the Rangers get a big.
There's another one, Mike.
Yeah, baby!
There it is.
Woo! Framber pitching like he's against the Rangers in the playoffs. Take that, Astros fans.
Hold that L, Houston.
I do at times stand up or pump my fist, but I let Dave make the call. I feel like I would be, in my opinion, I don't know this, I feel like I'd be a jerk if I started going, go or score, let's go, while he's making the call. Like, that's his call.
You should hear the
probably go viral, though.
Cincinnati Bengals broadcast team with Dave Lapham.
He just, run, yeah, whoa, yeah.
You know, he's
while
like,
the guy's while the trying guy, to yeah, do like yeah. the call so he can paint the yeah. picture.
The guy is totally comfortable with Dave Lapham. And the Packers do it, too. You know, with their broadcast.
Yeah, the Patriots are a big one.
Patriots. Scott Zolak will cheer during the games.
Yeah.
Well, San Francisco. Our guy,
San Francisco, will get a Greg mix Papa, in there.
They'll cheer. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike. It's okay.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody does that in baseball.
Maybe the Yankees.
I guess that's what you're saying. Will I do that? Will I be the first in baseball to really innovator. Screw over the play-by-play guy?
Trying to add fans, right?
Just yell over his call.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. It is a Tuesday. By the way, great job with CY earlier. That was outstanding, even though his phone was breaking up. We will have Mark Schlereth at 4:40.
All right, roll home. With the G-Bag Nation, we have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Kevin, roar like a tiger.
They're great.
Playoffs.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.